Nashville. Listen local.
Live from Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm your host, Jason Gold. Thank you so much for joining me here. Coming up, we're going to talk to some local folks who are doing what they can to benefit victims of the hurricanes. Also, we'll try to check in about a National Indigenous Peoples March in New York City, a parade that's going on coming up. But first, we've got the latest news for our area. From the Times Union, the Hudson Valley Bureau, for that, we turn to Philip Pantuso, Managing Editor. Philip, thank you so much for being here with us again.
Good to be with you.
So you got some big news here about the DEP, just to refresh people, the Department of Environmental Protection, the New York City DEP, they oversee the reservoirs, the watershed in which many of our listeners live here, you know, the five upstate reservoirs, and you've got a big development from the DEP, is that right?
Yes, this was a story that Roger Hennigan Gilson confirmed earlier this week. So since 1997, the DEP, in order to protect those reservoirs, has purchased more than 220 square miles of land in the Catskills under a land acquisition program. And that has come at the consternation of some town officials, some homeowners, for all kinds of complicated political, cultural, agricultural, developmental reasons. For about a year now, the city and the Coalition of Watershed Towns, which was formed in the 90s, it's towns in the watershed, they kind of collectively bargain with the DEP. They have been negotiating kind of the future of this land acquisition program. And they confirmed earlier this week that the city is actually going to wind that down over the coming months. There are a couple of reasons why this is happening. The main one is that, frankly, all of the priority areas, as the DEP termed it to us, have for the most part been bought up. Another way of saying that is that there just really isn't that much more land that the DEP needs to buy in order to protect the watershed of the reservoirs. And one of the other main reasons is that they're going to shift focus instead to a different kind of parallel program called the Streamside Acquisition Program that targets much, much smaller parcels, like 10 acres or less of land, or even slivers of parcels. And the idea there basically is to, rather than buy up these entire parcels, is to look for like really just a minimum amount that might be required in order to protect runoff or other pollutants from entering streams or other waterways that flow into the reservoirs.
Wow. And this is pretty new news. Has there been any reaction from any of the relevant parties yet?
It's most of the reaction is kind of muted right now for one big reason, which is that this agreement is not completely finalized. The details of it have been hashed out between the relevant parties, but it has to be approved, which is likely going to happen at the Coalition of Watershed Towns next meeting, which will be next week. But certainly both sides are saying that this is the kind of proper next step, and particularly attorneys for the Coalition of Watershed Towns have said that this is a major and welcome development.
Right, and that jibes with my assumptions about the story, but I did not want to assume, but it seems like, you know, this is something that people have kind of been hoping for in terms of the people that live locally near these reservoirs.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's another interesting piece of this agreement, again, subject to final approval, which is that the DEP is going to alter some of the rules that govern the land that it already owns. So when the DEP purchases land, it places it has placed conservation easements on that property, which, among other things, have prevented any utility lines from running through that property. That has, according to town and county officials in the Catskills, really hampered effects or efforts at running broadband internet to some more rural areas of the Catskills. Well, what the DEP is going to do as part of this agreement is alter these conservation easements to allow utility lines, including broadband internet, to now run through those properties. So, I mean, that should dramatically increase in the coming years the reach of broadband out in some of the rural southern Catskills. They're also going to ease some of the restrictions on road construction. The lawyer for the DEP stressed to us that this doesn't mean that, like, new roads are going to be plowed through forested areas, but there's going to be better maintenance on existing roads, and they may be able to do, like, a little bit of construction on the edges to make the roads, like, either a little bit wider or a little bit safer.
So they'll still be, like, retaining that land and caring for it and making sure that it does not get overly developed and negatively impacting New York City's water supply.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. They're not selling any of the land that they own. But basically they're just not going to try to purchase any more. They did tell us that any parcels that are currently under negotiation, or have entered into, contract, those will still be finalized, but assuming that this deal goes forward as all parties expect, the era of the city making large land purchases in the Catskills appears to be over.
Okay, and moving on to another story now, and thank you for that. Moving on to the next story, you have an update about Central Hudson. Central Hudson in your news again. What are they up to now?
Yes, Central Hudson in the news again, and you will be shocked to hear it's not a positive Central Hudson story.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. So listeners might remember last November, there was a big explosion in the village of Wappingers Falls in Dutchess County. That explosion brought down two buildings, and it injured 15 people. Eight of whom were quite badly injured and were sent to the hospital. The explosion was caused when a contractor doing an excavation project struck an unmarked gas line, causing the gas leak and then an explosion. The gas line is owned and operated by Central Hudson, and the contractor was working on behalf of Central Hudson. The project was basically to improve the gas delivery service to this residential area in Wappingers Falls. No one died as a result of this, but it was a really shocking incident and a really dangerous incident. And one of the people who was injured is actually still hospitalized, an 8-year-old kid who has had like dozens of skin grafts, has second and third degree burns pretty much all over his body. Well, since this happened last year, the Department of Public Service, which has an investigative arm, their investigators have been looking into what happened, and they presented some of their preliminary findings before the State Public Service Commission yesterday. And, they found a pretty shocking claim or pretty shocking fact, which is that Central Hudson apparently knew of this gas line, failed to communicate about it in the project binder that it gave to the contractor. And they essentially said that Central Hudson bears responsibility for what happened there due to negligence. And the Public Service Commission is now giving Central Hudson 30 days to reply, And basically, they have to prove why they should not be held civilly liable for what happened there. So, yeah, it's pretty shocking, and it just adds really to the cascade of bad news for Central Hudson over the past year, a couple of years now.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's a shame to hear, but it's a good update. I'm sorry. And anything else on that story?
That's pretty much it. Central Hudson acknowledged, that their responsibility in providing safe and reliable service. They said that they have cooperated with the Department of Public Service as it has conducted this investigation. Now, this is a preliminary report, and essentially what happened before the Public Service Commission yesterday was there was sort of statement of these facts by the investigators, and now Central Hudson is sort of like the respondents in a case where they can make their claims. It's pretty damning if they did not provide information in the project binder to the contractor. That's a kind of knowable fact there. They did or did not do that. And so the onus is going to be on the utility company for why they should not be held responsible. And that could mean restitution to the victims. It could mean fines to the state. And it could also mean that their shareholders have to be deemed. And of course, this is separate from the other Public Service Commission investigation into Central Hudson, where they're also having to pay out for the botched rollout of their new billing system, which cost customers, in total, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. All right. And now I want to get to a little bit of election news. As folks know, that just a handful of congressional districts helped determine the overall party makeup of the House just 2 years ago, some surprising Democratic losses in an otherwise blue state, and that really had a big effect on things. So people across the country are watching what happens in upstate New York districts, especially New York's 19th, New York 17. I know I can't go on YouTube without hearing either Josh Riley or Mark Molinaro's names being said to me in very scary ways over and over again. Lots of ads out there. You've got some information on who's paying for these ads, right?
Yeah, one of our data reporters, Emily Munson, analyzed a lot of data, a lot of campaign finance expense reports, and other FEC data, really just looking at the state of super PAC spending in congressional races here in the Hudson Valley. The super PAC basically is just a political organization that is really not beholden to the same campaign finance limits as individuals or other corporations. They can spend basically unlimited amounts of money for or in opposition to candidates as long as they do not directly coordinate with those campaigns. And I'm using scare quotes here because you don't really have to directly coordinate with the campaign to know what what they might want.
Right.
And the main takeaway really is that so far with the story published yesterday, so with about 3 weeks to go before the election, super PACs just since February have spent $35 million on House races in New York City or in New York State. Sorry. That is already more than they have spent in any cycle over the past decade. And as you noted, New York 19, Mark Molinaro, Josh Riley, that has been the spendiest super PAC race in the state, and one of the most expensive in the country in recent weeks. And that number is just expected to ramp up. So our story basically looks at some of the largest super PACs that have formed and are spending money in these House races and breaks down how much they've spent and on whom. So I encourage people to take a look at that. There's too much to really get into now, but suffice to say there are tens of millions of dollars pouring in from all kinds of organizations, national and local, through this super PAC campaign. And that's why you're seeing all those ads on YouTube.
Yeah, and that's probably why I won't be seeing less of them in the next 3 weeks either.
Nope. Unfortunately for you and unfortunately for me, this is only going to continue to heat up in the coming weeks. But we will have all kinds of coverage about that. And I also want to just quickly shout out the Times Union's voter guide, which launched earlier this week, a very comprehensive look at everything that is going to be on your ballot, with links to who's spending in the races. You can sort of customize the guide based on where you're based, so you can see what exactly will be on your ballot. And we sent questionnaires to all the candidates running for the state legislature and for Congress, so you can hear from the candidates themselves as well.
Right, and that's up now at timesunion.com. That's timesunion.com. And we've been talking to Philip Pantuso, managing editor, Hudson Valley. Philip, thank you for going over all this with us once again.
You got it. Take care.
Let's continue now here on the local edition. As you know, Hurricane Helene was a powerful Category 4 storm that caused widespread devastation across multiple states late last month, leading to severe flooding, property damage, and, tragically, the loss of at least 228 lives, as the count goes so far. As folks down south continue to recover, and to help with that recovery, this Friday a benefit concert will be happening at the Big Eddie Brewing Company in Narrowsburg, with all donations and partial proceeds going to help aid the victims of the hurricane. Radio Catskill's Patricio Roballo spoke to Masha Soko, Christopher Castro, and Jake Johnson of the Big Eddie Brewing Company. Here's that conversation now.
It's going to be six local musicians, aside from my band, which is going to be me and Simon Efren on drums and Greg Castro playing the bass. We're going to have Greg Castro also doing a solo set. He is part of the Electric Chords, which is like a well-known local band. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be very exciting. We have Faith Kelly, who is a local singer-songwriter who does like an Appalachian-based folk act, which is very unique and very fun and interesting musical style. She refers to it as Appalachian space folk. And her partner and her musical partner, Kaslyn Moon, who is more like of a Americana sound. We have Richard Travis, who is very vibrant, very loved by the community, very talented, also singer-songwriter. We have Max Lee, who is also a local, very talented musician, singer-songwriter. He does more of the electric guitar, vibey kind of alternative rock feel. And did I list everyone? Yeah, so we have me, Faith Kelly, Kaslyn Moon, Greg Castro, Max Lee, and Richard Travis. It's a very unique and talented group of individuals, and we have a really close-knit music community, and we help each other out in times of need if anybody needs anything. It feels really good to come together and give to another community that really needs all the support that they can get. And a bunch of us in the music community have friends there that have lost their homes or their belongings. It felt like a really necessary thing to put together and offer whatever we can.
Sounds like a really great lineup for this benefit concert. Christopher Castro, you mentioned that you have a family connection to the Southern states in the Carolinas, right?
Myself? So I have a lot of friends that live in the Asheville area. The Asheville is a big nexus of skateboarding and stuff like that, which is something that I've, done my whole life. And they've had a lot of my friends have lost their homes, their businesses. And in a more general sense, because they live down there and because I'm like looking at their social media, I'm seeing a lot of the things that are not necessarily making the normal news cycle. There were people that lost contact with the outside world for 10, 11 whole days. No food, no water, no electricity, no cell service. They are walking supplies into certain areas, walking them in on foot because they are unreachable by any kind of vehicle. So they really urgently need any assistance that they can get down there. I was lamenting this the other day, and my partner, let's do a fundraiser. And she speedily got all of this together with me and with our friend.
It's really heartbreaking to hear all the stories that came out of Hurricane Helene aftermath, seeing all the devastation, seeing that folks without power, losing homes. It's really heartbreaking to see it and to hear it, and the lack of electricity. So this benefit concert is happening at the Big Eddie Brewing Company. Jake, this is your new location, the Big Eddie Brewing Company in Narrowsburg. How does it feel to have this benefit, a concert like this, at the location at the Big Eddie Brewing Company?
It's such a blessing to be able to do this. And when Masha approached us, which actually we met, Masha was singing at an open mic night, and she's fantastic. And all of her friends, some of whom are going to be at the benefit, are just such talented musicians and people. And to be a part of that is just so humbling. But like Masha said, just to be able to do this, it's a testament to the community in Narrowsburg and Sullivan County in general. It's just a bunch of people who want to help and who have the ability to just get it done. And what we're going to be doing is a minor part of that, and just being able to keep in mind what these people down in North Carolina and Georgia and the other devastated areas are going through. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, it's going to be many years before these people feel some sort of normalcy. And Katrina has been almost 20 years now, and my hometown's still not the same. So it's a lot. And the emotional toll, not just what these people lost physically and maybe even monetarily, but the emotional toll that these people are going through right now is huge. So we just got to keep them in mind and remember we need everything we can here to get down there as soon as possible.
Yes, this is such a tragedy. Now, this benefit concert is free, but you are accepting donation, and obviously the donations will go to help and benefit the victims of Hurricane Helene.
Yeah, so there's a couple ways that you'll be able to help. First, Smokes Barbecue, which is our sister company that does the food at the brewery, they'll be donating a portion of the proceeds from that night to the relief efforts. Big Eddie will also be donating a portion. There's the standard old school jar that's going to be passed. We'll have links. I think we're going to do some QR codes that go direct to the donation links. There's going to be multiple ways to help. We want everyone to show up and have a good time, but remember why we're there. And Masha, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh yeah, no, that's everything you said is basically what I was going to say. The only thing I wanted to say is that as far as the monetary donations, from passing around the donation jar and whatever money is raised, the two main recipients that we're focusing on are Beloved Asheville and Mana Food Bank. There are two local organizations down there which focus on some overlapping things like providing food and healthcare to the community, and their efforts now are being focused solely on the victims of Hurricane Helene. They accept monetary donations. They also accept physical supplies. And for example, on the Mana Food Bank website, you can look up things that they're urgently in need of right now. And Beloved Asheville also is working on securing winter housing for people that need shelter who've lost their homes and have no access to shelter as the cold winter months are coming. I think that the work that they're doing is super urgent and super important for the affected communities. We were focusing our efforts on donating to those two organizations. Another thing that happened with Mana Food Bank is that they actually lost their headquarters building in the flood. So they actually need to rebuild themselves after they're done helping everyone else in the community through their remote locations at this time. So there's a lot of work to be done. So I'm really hoping a lot of people come and buy food, buy drinks, contribute in whatever ways they can, and we'll provide more resources and information about resources when the event is happening as well.
Wow, it's a stretch to hear some helping other folks, but themselves also had to rebuild. Wow, that's a tragedy. So the Hurricane Helene Benefit Concert is happening on October 18th at the Big Eddie Brewing Company in Narrowsburg, 93 Main Street. Before we go, is there anything else I have not touched on that you want folks to know about, either the Big Eddie Brewing Company or about this concert?
So this weekend is the Big Eddie Film Festival. So for everyone listening, if you're at the Big Eddie Film Festival, we're right in the middle of downtown Narrowsburg. Stop by. We're going to keep the donations open all weekend long, not just during the benefit concert, but obviously we want you guys to come to the benefit and have some fun and listen to some great music and bring your checkbooks.
Or cash.
Or cash.
Or cash.
I just wanted to thank you, Jacob and Allison, for hosting this, and thank you for having us, and thank you to WJFF for having us on air to talk about it.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for talking to me. Like I said, good luck with this weekend's benefit concert. And it's great that you did mention that the donation is going to happen all weekend, especially with, like I said, the Big Eddie Film Festival also happening in the same town. So thank you again for talking to me. The Hurricane Helene benefit concert is happening on Friday, October 18th, starting at 7 p.m. all the way to 10 o'clock at the Big Eddie Brewing Company. Thank you again so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good evening.
In Liberty, I'm Patricio Roballo for Radio Catskill.
And thank you, Patricio, for that report. Programs like this one, the local edition, keep you informed of what's happening in the community in terms of both the news or events or what the community's concerns are, what people are banding together to support. And it only happens because listeners like you support this station, because that's how we get by. Please make your donation now in honor of all the great local news and programming that we bring to you, as well as the national and international programs, ideas, and concepts that we bring to you every single day. Make a donation during our fall fun drive. Do it in honor of the local edition. Go to WJFFradio.org, WJFFradio.org. Liam Mayo is still here, ready to take your call. 845-482-4141. That's 845-482-4141. Now, one more event to talk about that's coming up this weekend down in New York City. It's the third annual National Indigenous Peoples of the Americas Parade. Third annual, celebrating tribal solidarity. And joining us on the phone right now to talk about it, we have Gray Wolf Henderson from our community, friend of the radio station, member of the Ramapo Lenape Nation. Gray Wolf, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for allowing me this time to speak about this event. It is a wonderful event. People come from all over. For example, we'll have the Pueblo dancers from New Mexico. We'll have natives from Puerto Rico, Mexico, the Caribbeans, North Carolina, Louisiana, California, South Dakota, and many more. And leading off of this parade as the Grand Marshal is my cousin, Chief Carla Wandering Spirit Woman Alexander. She is chief of the Deer Clan.
Wow.
And she has worked tirelessly over the years to bring not just my tribe, but many tribes from all over together in solidarity. And that is how this actually came to be, because she worked tirelessly. She has contacted tribes from all over. And she has gone to their stuff, and they're coming to our stuff. And Madison Square Park, October 19th, that's this Saturday.
And the lineup is at 8 a.m. There's going to be a ceremony at 9 a.m., and then the parade kicks off at noon from Madison Square Park?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it is a sight to behold, seeing different cultures and everything come together. And these moments of solidarity, it is a beautiful thing. It's great for the kids. And if you don't, and it's wonderful to experience a different culture, and it's on show for the world to see. So come on down, have a good time.
Is there a musical component to this? Will people be singing or playing drums? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You'll have just about, every one of those tribes that I've mentioned, including many more and my own, there will be singing and dancing along the way at different sections, and you'll hear the different styles and the different influences of each tribe and how they celebrate and how they dance. And each dance is a celebration of something. So please come out and experience it. I can only say so much, but it is, like I said before, it is a sight to behold.
Okay, and there's more information up at, I'm looking at the calendar at powwows.com. The official site is the-national-indigenous-peoples-of-the-Americas. There's basically a dash between every word, National Peoples, Indigenous Peoples of the Americas Parade.org. And we've been talking to Gray Wolf Henderson. Thank you so much for taking the time to let us know that this is happening this weekend.
Thank you for having me. And again, come on down and let's celebrate together.
All right, and best of luck, and I'm looking forward to see some pictures from it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, that's going to do it for the local edition tonight. I've been your host, Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me. Thank you for listening. Local news continues tomorrow morning at 10 with Tim Bruno on Radio Chatskill. And we've got your opportunity to give at any moment at WJFFradio.org.